Thank you. Thank you for your singing. You know what? That was one of the few times that we heard the melodious sounds of the voices harmonizing together. We left the musical instruments to the side this time. Thank you. That was good. I was just listening to that music that you were singing. It was so great. Now, you know, I know heaven talks about instruments, but I also think there's a cappella singing too. Okay, well, we won't get into that one right now. Okay, we are looking today at Jesus coming proclaimed. Jesus coming proclaimed, and thank you everybody for the part that you have done so far as we come into looking at this Christmas season, and thank you for the reading from Luke chapter 2. Only we're going to back up one chapter today and look at that chapter, Luke chapter 1. Basically 26 through 56. I might be wrong in that last verse, but those are the verses that we're going to look at this morning. As we look at the commercialization of Christmas season, we see people are telling their children, there's a Santa Claus. Any of you children know that there's a Santa Claus? Does Santa Claus bring you gifts? Yeah, I think you know better. What are we telling our children? Do they know the real reason for the season? We see the rush of the season to get all the things accomplished. We hear people saying, oh, we got to go to this store. We got to go to this store for so-and-so, this store for that. We're running all over the place to find that special gift for that special person. At this time of the year, also loneliness is a big thing. Loneliness is a big thing. Even in a time of busyness. All these people rushing around, moving around, trying to get something. But the loneliness that is with people is something else. See if you see any of those lonely people this week. Give them a word that God is willing to love and care for them. So as we look today, we want to look at some of the prophecies from the Old Testament, as well as how the virgin birth came about. And so at this time, we're going to go to, and thank you for the songs. The last one we sang, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. And this is the key. Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. And we see this taking place in the life of Mary as she was being called out, as she was being chosen, selected to be the one who was going to be the carrier of the Jesus, the baby, the God-man. The virgin birth of Jesus, somebody has Luke 1, 26 to 33. If you would read that, I'd appreciate it.
33 or 38?
30. Okay. Now I have 38.
Okay. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Okay. We see the angels were very busy. There were some angels that were very busy. What were the names of those angels that we know about that were doing the messenger service for God? Gabriel? What other one do we know about? Another angel.
Michael.
Yes, Gabriel. And just prior to this time, Gabriel had been sent on a mission to tell somebody that they were going to have a baby that seemingly was going to be very, very, very impossible. But what does the scripture say? For with God, all things are possible. The angel went to Elizabeth and Zechariah and told them, even in their old age, they were going to have a baby. Gabriel, his ministry was involved in making special announcements concerning God's plan. He was sent from God as an emissary. And according to what I understand, Gabriel and Michael are the two archangels that are mentioned in the Bible. We also have in Daniel 9:21, where while speaking in prayer, Gabriel touched me. And that's in Daniel 9:21. We're not going to look at that, but there again we have the instance of that. The angel was sent from God, giving this news about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, there is no parallel to it in human history. A woman having a baby without having relationships with a man. Being the virgin birth, God became one perfect person, but two natures. He had the nature of the Almighty God, coming from the parapets of glory down to earth to be a babe, as God, through His Son, ordained. That of man, also, man without sin. That's something you and I can't say. We're not without sin. There is two natures, became the God-man, Christ Jesus. And somebody has Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, please. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16.
Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need.
Did you hear what she read? Did you hear what she read? Just when you think that what you're going through, nobody else has ever gone through before, the Lord knows all about it. There's nothing that you and I face that He hasn't faced in His era. And we have these two natures, going back to the two natures. The first was mentioned of the virgin birth. How early in the Bible was the virgin birth mentioned? How about in Genesis 3:15? Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And it goes on there in scriptures. But that's the first mention. The one to defeat Satan was going to be born of the seed of a woman. This is a biological miracle. Biological miracle. There is no seed of a woman. One is born of a woman, is not born of a woman without a human father. You know anybody that's been born that way? I don't think so. But we know that we're talking with God about God and how He works in life. Now we have some prophecies that we want to look at from Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14. Somebody has a scripture. We're talking about prophecy. Prophecy from the past. Things that have happened years earlier, that this was going to take place. Isaiah 7:14, please.
Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel.
Okay. And then I think you have also Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 on that paper.
Mm-hmm. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you, Judy. I didn't think about that. When you're in the when you're paging, you just go a couple pages and you're there. So I guess going on there, that works too. Okay, so we see here, and if you want to take some time, look at that second scripture she read from Isaiah 9 about the titles that he was going to be giving. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. You and I live in a day and age when peace isn't always as fluent as sometimes. Therefore, we need to study more about peace and see how that comes about. Also, we have another prophecy taken from Micah 5:2. He was born in Bethlehem of Ephrathah, and it goes on about that. I don't have that word for word, but we know there was a prophecy there also about the Lord coming into this earth. Then we look at this miraculous conception from 34 through 38. If somebody has those verses, you could read 34. Now, wait a minute. I'm wrong on that. That's not the ones. I don't have a paper. I don't have it written in there. There's a paper. The conception. The Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the angel is saying. The incarnation was accomplished. What does the incarnation mean? Anybody have any idea? Did you use that word lately? It's one of those words that, you know, as children growing up, incarnation, what does that mean? Justification, what does that mean? Sanctification, what do those words mean? Pre-existent, divine, logos koinia, Greek for word, embodied in the flesh or taking on flesh is what it means. And that we have from God sending his son to earth. We see that the incarnation was accomplished by this creative act of the Holy Spirit in the body of Mary. The virgin birth was a special miracle, was performed by the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit, whereby the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, took to himself a genuine, though sinless human nature, and was born as a man, listen to this, without surrendering any of the aspects of his deity. So he was still God-man. He still was who he was, heaven to earth. The formation of every babe in the womb and the entrance of the Spirit of life into it is a mystery in nature. And I'm going to Psalm 139, for some scriptures there. Psalm 139, verse 13. Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! We see how this was taking place long before anybody knew anything. We see that the formation of every babe. What do we hear nowadays? Oh, the babies, you know, when they come out of the birth canal, that's when they're a baby. I want to tell you, I believe that as soon as conception takes place in the mother's womb, that is when conception takes place. We were made in secret. And I just heard something this week about some states looking at some laws or something, and they want to get some law that says that as soon as there's a heartbeat detected, that's when life begins. Well, they're getting a lot closer, aren't they? But in the day and age in which we live, we know that there's millions and millions and millions of children's lives have been snuffed out in the arena of abortion. So we see that every babe in the womb is a special, special person. We were made in secret. Much more was the formation of the child Jesus was a mystery, as we see here. This angel coming to Mary was telling her all these things that were taking place. And Mary was there in her home in Nazareth. And as we were there this summer, at the Church of the Annunciation, huge, huge building. And down in the bottom, they called the grotto, there was a cave area where they believed that the angel came to Mary. That was part of her house. Down hollowed out like a cave is where this took place. That's down a lower level. And then there's two or three other levels above that yet. A huge building. It was rebuilt. It was tore down. Changed many times, but in 60 to 69, it was again put up again, the Shrine of Basilica of the Church of the Annunciation. You know, as I was studying and thinking about this, I thought, wow, there I was standing, thinking what was taking place while the angel was there with Mary, telling her all about this. Here's where the Word was made flesh. The angel came to Gabriel. The angel Gabriel came to Mary. The angel assured Mary of this to encourage her faith. To encourage her faith. You know, she said, how's this going to be? She was troubled. She wondered, how's this going to be? Are we like that? People tell us about something. What do we say? Well, what's going to happen? How's this going to take place? When will it take place? How soon will it take place? We have those questions. And here we have Mary asking those questions also. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. No word of God must be incredible to us as long as no work of God is impossible to him. No word of God must be incredible to us as long as no work of God is impossible to him. And we know that thereafter, Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I will do. I will be. I am submitting entirely to his will. According to thy word, Mary says. How about you and I? Are there some lessons in here for us? Submitting entirely to his will, being obedient, trust and obey. I think there's a song like that. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. Believing, adoration, honor, availability. Availability. Think about that. What God can do through us when we're available to him. And I'm not talking about beyond these doors. I'm talking about us here. Our availability to what God has for us to do. Expecting, believing, a servant. Let us be guided by the desires of our heart, by the word of God. Romans 6. Does somebody have that one? Romans 6, I think I'm going to get that one. But you can turn to Romans 6 with me. Romans chapter 6. I went back a little far. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We became the servants of righteousness when we made those decisions, when we realized who we are and what we are. Let us be sure that we ground our desires in the Word of God and ground our hopes upon it, so that we may see, as Mary said, according to thy word. Mary is told then by Gabriel, the angel, that her cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, and that she's going to have a baby, one of those miracle babies, one that was really surprised that it was going to take place. She was very old, but God, what did we say that verse was? For with God all things are possible. So Mary is told by the angel about her cousin Elizabeth, so she goes and spends time with her. She spends time with her. She is there. At that point in time, Elizabeth is six months pregnant, and she stays with Mary for 3 months. So she was there till Elizabeth was ready to give birth. But the beautiful part of this is the salutation of Mary, what the angel said was going to take place. As she went there to Elizabeth, the baby leaped in her womb for joy. Now, some people would say that a baby is not a conscious being. How many mothers are here, and what do you feel when you were carrying a child? I hear people say about, hey, somebody's kicking, he's kicking here, the baby is kicking down there, or something's moving around, or there's a lot of action taking place at times. That you have to explain, I can't. Okay. So the baby's response, why did they say sing to your baby? Why did they say read to your baby? Yes, the miraculous confirmation that Mary was to be the mother of the Messiah. The Spirit came upon her cousin Elizabeth, and the babe also leaped in her womb. This was fulfilled prophecy with the Holy Spirit that happened in Isaiah 11, 1 through 4, and somebody has that, I believe. Isaiah 11, 1 through 4.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, and the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked.
Okay, thank you. The prophecy that was told many years before. We see the Spirit of the Lord came upon her with wisdom, and that was wisdom beyond human wisdom, revealing something that she had learned, not learned by human investigation. It was heavenly. And then we see here with Mary and Elizabeth, the blessing from the inspiration of the Spirit of Elizabeth. She spoke the very word of God. And I don't have that one. Elizabeth was affirming what the angel said, and we see some observations concerning God's blessing of Mary. And when we're in Luke, we see that taking place here in the verses 47. I believe, does somebody have Luke 1, 47 to 56? Go ahead. Thank you.
How I rejoice in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and now generation after generation will call me blessed. For he, the mighty one, is holy, and he has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm does tremendous things. How he scatters the proud and haughty ones. He has taken princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. And how he has helped his servant Israel. He has not forgotten his promise to be merciful, for he promised our ancestors, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to them forever. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home.
Okay. So we have this time of Mary and Elizabeth being together and having rich fellowship taking place. The blessings upon Mary sprang from God's gracious choosing of her. And the thing that did too is that God's blessing did not free Mary from troubles and trials that come with being human. She continued to be mortal, experienced human attitudes and emotions. And I believe that Mary, the mother of Messiah, actually had a lot of heartbreaking, sorrowing times in her life. We see that the virgin birth of Christ is set apart from any other religion. No other religion can compare to this. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is set apart from it. Christmas is Christ, God's Son on earth. To us. And as we think about joy, we think about the joy of Jesus, the joy of salvation, the joy of Jesus coming to earth as a babe. At this time, I want to allow us some time for reflection of what Christmas is to you. And then we're going to close out with Joy to the World. What reflections do you have of Christmas in your life that have taken place? Just give some highlights or some reflections how Christmas has affected you. And I'm not going to put any time frame on when it was given. When you can share whenever, whatever happened with us. Any have any experience like the shepherds did as they were out in the hillsides? Were they ever told to go see this baby? Well, I know one thing, that many times when a baby is born, it's one of those things parents, grandparents need to get there, get to see this baby as soon as they can. And nowadays, some people are farther away, so they use Instagram and Facebook and stuff. Whatever those things are, to be able to be in communication. So any reflections that you might have about Christmas?
I think when I was younger, Christmas was all about getting. I was looking forward to what I might get. And as you mature, you realize that Christmas is about giving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, you say that. And for us Dutchmen, it's hard for us to receive. We want to always be giving. And that was something that I think Joanne and I learned more as we were in Jackson, Mississippi, in voluntary service for a year. Yeah, our stipend that year was $35 a month. But we had all our other needs met, you know, as far as that goes. But you think about that, yeah.
One of my greatest memories is when our youngest daughter was born.
And as we, the Joy to the World song, have to go back. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. Oh, prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts. And, you know, as Joanne was saying about the innkeeper. Oh. Okay. Joy to the world has come. Okay. No, not quite yet. Anyone else want to share anything? That's okay. It can stay up. It can stay up. Just, the light has come. The light of the world is who? Jesus. So what are the things that you're going to be remembering and doing in the next 2 weeks, and then as you get together with family and friends, what are the things we celebrate? What are the things that we do to make memories with our families and friends? Let us pray. God of grace and God of mercy, I come before you this morning to thank and praise you. Continue to lead and guide us and direct us in this Christmas season. Help us to be purveyors of Christmas joy, of Christmas peace, of Christmas hope, of Christmas love. Guide us. Encourage us. I pray now, Father, for the handing out of the coupons, if that's going to happen, Lord. I pray for your blessing and guidance to be upon it, anointing it as it goes, as people go, Lord. I also thank you, Father, for the way in which your word, you will be shown forth to others. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, I pray. Amen. Let's sing Joy to the World, and then we'll be dismissed.